Hello and welcome to Tavern Chat with the voice like nails on a chalkboard. Thus are the days of the week. So, I thought today, again, trying to get onto some more pleasant topics, how do we get more younger gamers into the OSR now? There's an article up on ICD2, and I found the articles I was looking for the last quarter sales reports. They really aren't sales reports. It's a ranking, and the difference between first and second place can be, you know, yay big or yay. Losing my screen, but whatever. Yay big. You don't know from that. You got to infer it from other data sources. So I'm waiting for the latest quarter to come, the first quarter of 2020. I'll match it up to the Roll 20, the Fantasy Grounds, and we'll see what we can infer from the data we have. But in the meantime, there is some interesting data. And according to Wizards of the Coast, their survey from back in, I believe, 2020, or at least their infographic was from 2020. The survey could have been from 2019. 40% of D&D players are 25 and younger. Now, on one level, you know, I guess I'm kind of surprised because I'm in the OSR, and for the most part, our gaming circles tend to be older. But of course, I came into gaming young. I was probably 13 when I started rolling dice and playing AD&D and thinking that basic D&D was for babies because it said basic on it. Come on. I was 13. I was advanced. But we had elitism even back then between the games that we played. And to a large extent, that elitism has continued. But something that is overlooked by far, and I think the OSR does itself an injustice for overlooking this, is that yes, the OSR, publishers especially, use money raised by selling 5e products to keep their OSR lines alive. I mean, are they profitable? Sure, but not profitable enough to keep a company going. That's why you publish for 5e. All right, again, as I said elsewhere, it's the rising tide that lifts all ships. Right now, in the OSR, there's a bit of a storm. There's going to be a bit of a fallout from this. And most likely, there's going to be a retrenching of business across the board. And in the community size of the OSR, you lose, I don't know, 10% of that business. It's noticeable. So what are we overlooking? And again, I am a small-time self-publisher. That is not what I'm not talking about what I would need to do as a publisher. I'm just saying, in general, what do we need to do as a community? And the one thing we need to do, and I think this is obvious to a lot of us, but maybe we don't do it, is introduce the next generation in our family to gaming. Okay? Or two generations. But in my case, my niece is going to be, she's 10 and a half. She'll be 11. In December. She is excited about Dungeons and Dragons, but doesn't play it, but the concept excites her. And I really should be taking time out of my summer to run games for her, Rach, maybe her mother. And I think she's old enough to certainly grasp a lot of the concepts, and it would be good. Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to introduce that next generation of gamer to gaming in general. And I'll be honest with you, something like Swords and Wizards Light is great for bringing in new gamers of all ages, whether they move on to Swords and Wizardry, another OSR game, 5e, Call of Cthulhu, Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is not a zero-sum business, and that's what some people think. I lose a sale because somebody else got one. Not necessarily. You got to be in this for the long haul. If your business is built on, I need to make money right away, you're going to make decisions that are going to make sure that you, A, don't make money right away, and B, generally don't make money. All right? You're going to have to understand that this is the tortoise will generally win this race. You get your ducks lined up, you get your products prepared, and then you announce it. And I'll tell you the truth, even small things, Torchlight Issue 1, Torchlight Issue 0 came out last July. Torchlight Issue 1, I have to move on to Jeff, my layout guy, because I got it back from our editor, and now it's going to be ready to get the final layout, and then the copy gets uploaded, and it might be big enough to be print on demand. And how long did this take? I told you. Last issue was last July. The 32-page fucking Zine. I want to say Zine. Forgive me. I know it's a mortal sin. This is part of that process. So to announce stuff that, oh, it's going to be out tomorrow, when you have nothing written, is foolhardy. It's not even penny-wise, pound-foolish. You're literally shooting yourself in the foot but building up expectations that you can't deliver on. And I am certainly have been guilty of that in the past. So it's live and let learn. But, again, why do we want to bring the youth in? Why do you want to bring in the people that are under 25? Well, they're looking for camaraderie, okay? This is we're all looking for it. Gaming gives you either a network that your current group of friends bond into further, or maybe you get a new group of acquaintances that start to gel together and become friends. That's what gaming does. So they're looking for that, okay? And listen, when I was a kid, my mother was happy to have my friends over the house almost on a daily basis in the summertime because she knew what we were doing and would rather have us gaming than getting into other kinds of trouble. And over the last 40 years, times have changed. It's a lot more trouble the youth can get into. It's inexpensive. Literally, with the OSR or with the 5th edition basic set, or is it the basic rules? Because the starter set, the essential set, but the basic rules are the free download. And it's all you need to play. And I'm not saying it's going to give you endless ability to play. Yeah, actually, yeah. I mean, so what would you like? 4 pages. Email or message Frog God Games. They'll send you physical copies for that game anywhere in the U.S. for free. If you want something that's physical, it's 4 pages. And it's a PDF, you can grab it for free. Why are these resources important? Because when you are younger, your resources, your ability to buy something, are less. So cost is a factor. OSR has a lot of stuff that's available for free. Rule sets available for free. Some people put out free adventures. You know, the one-page dungeons. These are things that, in your mind, as a member of the gaming community in general, not just the OSR, you should be steering our youth towards. Okay? Don't think of them as current paying customers. Okay? Because I planted a garden this spring, right? How long does it take before you can start to harvest it? It is not immediate. Okay? Could I spend $10 on a fully grown tomato plant with tomatoes coming on it? Yes, I can. Or I could get a flat with 6 tomato plants in it for $5. In the long run, what is going to yield me more? Well, the 6 for $5, right? I'm going to get 6 plants and for half the cost of the fully grown plant, right? It's a long-term game. And it might even be, if you're a self-publisher, that you're not necessarily playing the recruitment game for yourself, but you're playing that recruitment game for publishers to come behind you. It's just the way of the world, because hopefully the publishers in front of you have done the same. What else does this article talk about? Well, you think you cover the camaraderie, you cover the inexpensive. How about social media? Effective use of social media can be huge for your company. And even companies like Frog God Games, which is not a huge company, I can talk about this because I'm involved peripherally with Frog God. They've hired people to do social media, to do videos, to maintain their Discord channel. This is all important stuff when you reach a certain size. Even as a smaller publisher, you can do things like a YouTube channel. It doesn't have to be daily. Not everybody's a dumb fuck like me that's retired from regular employment and can be on here on a daily basis. You don't need to do that. But what you do need to do is make a connection with your customer base, with your potential customer base. Now, if you are someone, and this goes back to yesterday's cast, if you're someone whose reaction to an angry individual on social media is to immediately lash back and one-up them. Oh, they called me obnoxious. Well, I'm going to tell that fucktard where to stick it, shove it up. No. Then maybe social media isn't for you. Maybe you have to farm that out. Okay? Because social media can be a boon. Or is it boom? Yes, it can be a boom, which is what we're watching right now. Or a bust, but it can be a boon. It can be a blessing. You have to treat it the right way. You got to treat it with kid gloves in a lot of ways. You know, the less you're concerned about making a profit, the more freewheeling you can be on your social media. And yes, YouTube is social media. Facebook is social media. Twitter is that dive bar from Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, the first one that ever aired. A hive of scum and villainy, I believe, is the quote from Obi-Wan. Well, that is Twitter, okay? And it doesn't mean that good things can't happen on Twitter. It just means that you can be surrounded by a ton of vile shit. So, again, when I graduated from elementary school, they made us sing the song, I Believe the Children of the Future, Treat Them Well and Let Them Lead the Way. I said, show them all the
beauty that possess inside.
Well, beauty that we possess inside. Give them a sense of pride and make it easier for their children's future. And remind them of how things used to be or some crap like that. Well, here's the thing. You should be showing them not the shitty side of social media and the hellish side of gaming, because there are some real fucktards in gaming, okay? You got to show them the right side. You got to introduce them properly. That's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. If you want this thing we call role-playing games and gaming to thrive and survive, I think it will always survive to some extent, but to really be something that you can walk into your neighborhood bar and say that you went to a gaming convention and they don't go, you play poker? You gotta work on it. I gotta work on it. Folks, thank you for listening. Thank you to everybody that's recently subscribed. If you haven't subscribed, and you're a listener, especially a regular listener, I don't know why you haven't subscribed, please do. It really helps. Comment on these videos. I do try to get to all your comments. If I don't respond, I generally try to like them or occasionally dislike them, but hey. We do have a phone number. It's 347-509-5168. I do try to get to voicemails in a timely manner. I listen to them all. They don't all get up on... Sometimes events take a course of their own, which has been happening. I am immunized against COVID-19. We are still in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. And now there's talk about this UK Delta variant. Folks, I'm not telling you what to do. It's your life. It's your health. I will ask this. You claim that you have common sense when you play these role-playing games that we share in common, and that you would not throw a fireball into a 10 by 10 room because common sense would have told your character, even though you're stating you did it, that they would know the blowback would destroy the whole party. Well, I'm just saying, use your common sense when it comes to your health and the health of your family, your friends, your loved ones. Take common sense precautions. Talk to medical professionals. Get their advice. Don't listen to talking heads like me. All right? Be safe. Be well. God bless, especially folks like Ken Whitman and Justin Lanasa, who they there's an emptiness I think they're trying to work out. So they fill it by grifting off the community. So hopefully we can find a way to get them out of that frame of mind. All right, folks. Knock on wood. Roll your dice well. I will talk with you all again, God willing, tomorrow's. Hello and welcome to Tavern Chat, the more or less daily YouTube podcast. Podcast gets out less frequently. I beg your forgiveness. So today I thought I would touch on sandboxes. Part of the reason probably being because I will apologize for any of the background noise there might be. It is not my microphone. It is my suffering AC. It is, according to my watch, 97 degrees and fair outside in New York City. I know the West Coast is getting hit with the heat wave worse than we are, but my AC in the sitting room is 15 years old and can't keep up with the heat. And it's my belief that the electric company is holding back on some of the powers. There's no brownouts, because even at our local pub, the AC there wasn't working properly. So it seems to be more than just a bad AC. It seems to just be hot, fucking hot. So I was watching Dungeoncraft. That's the Professor Dungeon Master's channel. And again, huge props to Joe the Lawyer. Joe was the one that steered me on this. And I thought, to be honest, it's going to be a mostly 5e channel. It's actually mostly, believe it or not, even if it is 5e, it's mostly old school, which is pretty interesting as an old school gamer, blogger, caster, to find somebody who understands that. And he was talking about sandboxes. And now sandboxes, as frequently treated, is you give your players unlimited freedom and they go where they want, and it's usually a fucking mess, you know. And I call this podcast channel, this cast channel, a sandbox. And Talking Crit with Mike and I is a sandbox. We don't normally go where we expect to go. The audience kind of moves us, but that's hard to do in a campaign because as a GM you're supposed to prep. So Professor Dungeon Master, why can't I say it right? The professor recommends that he has tables on his Patreon, which I am part of, and I have to spend time. I back the people that I really feel do a great job adding stuff to this community, and a lot of times I don't even use the material or read it that they produce because I'm more interested in supporting. But I got to go and download his stuff because he suggests that at the end of, I guess, if an adventure lasts two or three sessions, once it's wrapping up, you give your players two options as to what we're going to do for the next session. Are you going to go and take this hook or this hook? And that's a very good way to do it. A lot of times, as a GM, you don't know what your players want to do if you're doing a sandbox until they show up. And he said, whatever they decide, they're locked in on. They can't just say, we changed our mind. We want to go explore the dungeon of inevitable assholes as opposed to going to the crypt of the fallen bartender. You know, they tell you so you have time to prepare. Now, I am certainly somebody who loves to improv as a DM, but there's a limit to my ability to improv. And I certainly can't do it on a session-by-session basis because your players will catch on that you're just pulling shit out of your ass. not necessarily the best way to do things, and they'll catch you on it. I do think, again, he gives them two choices. I would add in, these are your this option or this option, or is there a compelling option that I haven't thought of as your DM that the party wishes to investigate? Maybe they'll say, well, we want to check out the lead dealing with the royal house and the illegitimate son that was hinted at by one of the storekeepers. And you can go, all right, well, you know what? It's going to take you some time to find out the information to follow up on that lead. And now you have something to go for the next story break, the next completed adventure. Now you know where you're going to go after that. But definitely use your players for their feedback. That's the best thing I can say. I mean, I've done it. I've run the hex crawl, and hex crawls can be miserable if your players are kind of like, I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? There's no guidance, right? That's part of the problem with a traditional hex crawl as written. But giving them a choice of leads to follow is certainly a way to do it. So I tip my virtual hat to the professor. It's certainly a good idea, but I would add in, give your players the third choice. Again, you've given yourself a week or two where you can prep for them. Even if they throw you an oddball choice, if it's something that's feasible and they can do it, run with it. Make it. They'll appreciate it. They'll enjoy it for that. So it's going to be, it's just a short episode because I do have a live stream tonight with Bad Mike. We're doing Talking Crit. It's going to be a follow-up of less of the political and social issue, complete failure on how to use social media drama, and other updates that are more precise, less open to interpretation depending on what side of the fence you're sitting on. I just think it's a better way to highlight and investigate the current situation with TSR and the Dungeon Hobby Shop Museum. So that's tonight, Wednesday, last day of June, June 30th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on this very channel, youtube.com/10cars tavern. Myself, Bad Mike, we look forward to seeing you. I am not a medical professional. We're in the midst of the world of COVID. There's spikes. There's this whole Delta variant. Listen, I'm immunized. All my co-hosts are immunized. My wife is immunized. But that doesn't mean that you need to get immunized. You know your health situation better than any of us. All right? Talk to a medical professional. Talk to your doctor. And get advice from somebody who isn't a talking head on the internet or TV. All right? That's really where you should be looking for guidance. All right? Because you got to be healthy to keep your friends, your family, your loved ones healthy and safe. Be safe. Be well. God bless. Roll those dice. Knock on wood, I will be back again tonight. 8 p.m. Eastern, folks. Don't miss it. Thank you so much. I'll catch you later.